the Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
Hello, and welcome to the Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football. It's been a very good week for teams in red, and there's plenty more naturalisation news for us to get stuck into this week as well, along with some top-quality breaking news off-the-pitch scheming linking Dalian, Shanghai and Newcastle. The first time those three cities have ever been used in a sentence, I feel. I am your host, Steve Crooks, and joined here by our regular experts, Brandon Chemes in Beijing. How are you holding up, Brandon?
Happy to be back, Steve.
We'll be talking about that shrinking gap at the top of the table in a little bit, but plenty of other things for us to talk about first. And to shed some light on matters, as always, is our politically connected man, Cameron Wilson, in Shanghai. How are you doing, Cam?
Hey, Steve. No bad.
I hope that you and your recycling sorting have been going okay. I'm seeing some horror stories coming out of the city there. And let's start by talking about a kind of recycled football manager, actually. I think the headline news, which has been breaking just before we're recording here, is that Rafa Benitez to Dalian does appear to be confirmed. Cam, how surprised are you by this? And what should we really expect him to have in terms of an impact up there?
It's not such a surprising move, because Dalian's been quite serious about trying to build a decent team. They've got off to maybe not that great a start with the experience I had with Cascaro and Hamzik, but I think they've shown how serious they are by making an investment to bring somebody like Benitez, who is still a very highly respected manager. And I think I'm not really that convinced that he's going to be able to do any better than anyone else has, but he's certainly got a good pedigree.
Yeah, I'm not sure how this one's going to work out. We've got lots of questions on it. This one coming in from John Halber. As a former inhabitant of Dalian, I'm always curious about your take on the club there in general, especially with so much happening right now. What do we think Benitez's impact could be? Do we expect more big spending is going to happen? Brandon, what's the ceiling of their ambitions? I don't think management's been the problem for them, really.
No, and I said somewhat tongue-in-cheek on Twitter earlier today, you know, we've seen Wang Jianlin replace an Asian manager with a big-name overseas Spanish manager before, and that didn't go very well. I don't expect this to go that much better. You really have to feel for Choi Kang-hee today. He's arguably the best manager in Asia. Has won the K-League, I think, 7-8 times. Has won the ACL twice. Has done a lot. I mean, he took a very bad Trenzhen side to the quarterfinals last season, even after losing the foreigners that they losing Witzel and everything. And honestly, this Dalian team is not starting badly. They're right where they should be. They aren't that much better than where they currently are in the table. You can talk about the issues, it seems, that Choi had with Carrasco. I tend to want to think it's more an issue of Carrasco. I definitely side more with the club in that argument. I think Carrasco definitely wants to go to Europe, is looking for a way out. And you have to, I mean, this isn't anything new either. Dalian has been spending money since Wanda took over, since the Yifang came up to the CSL and Dalian took over. You look at the amount they poured out on Gaetan and Carrasco. They very quickly fired Ma Lin, who should have never been in charge anyways of the side when they came up, and brought in a Schuster, expensive German manager there, only to fire him after this season. You know, maybe that was the Zhou Jun treatment there, and bring in Choi, another very expensive manager, only to let him go 6 months later. It's an insane situation. And granted, Benitez has done a lot in Europe, but he's never coached in Asia, and I don't expect he's going to make that much difference because he doesn't have very much to work with.
Yeah, I think we do have to temper the expectations there. It's great in a way to have, you know, a big name moving over, but it's not a squad that's really underachieving. I'm not really sure how well they can do, you know, in the second half of the season. We'll see what they do in the transfer window, but it does seem, Cam, that the kind of master of puppets behind the scenes has struck again. And this is a timely question from another listener about whether you think Kike Sanchez Flores will be a success at Shenhua, because there appear to be rumours that Zhou Jun, after wreaking a bit of havoc up there, has come back to destroy the club, or to finish the job that he's done in destroying the club he was at previously. How's the mood in Shanghai around that?
So the question was, will Flores be a success at Shenhua? The answer is nobody will be a success at Shenhua, because the club's a f***ing joke and Zhou Jun's a f***ing...
Yeah, hard to argue with that in a way. I mean, it's I don't know what I'm more surprised about, that he's going back to Shenhua, or that the fans seem to be kind of accepting of this. I mean, the problem with the club is they've got a squad that's been decimated by a horrible transfer policy over the years, and you bring back the guy who did that?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's beyond even discussion. I don't even know what to say.
Fair enough. Well, Brandon, I mean, does this shock you as much as it seems to shock everyone in the Shanghai football sphere?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked to begin with that, you know, Wang Jianlin, who, you know, has made Wanda into what it is in China over the past 30 years, that he would bring in, I think he'd be a decent spotter of talent, that he would give open his wallet to Zhou Jun, really shocked me last season when it happened, and that he doesn't want to continue that process now that he's spent so much on Rafa doesn't surprise me. But I'm shocked that anyone who's been watching Chinese football at all in the past 10 years would make an offer to hire Zhou Jun, and just that it's Shenhua just seems par for the course down there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything positive we have to say about that situation, so maybe it's time for us to move on, and we'll bring other transfer news and reviews in as they come in through the next couple of weeks, looking at managers and players who come in. There's plenty of rumours out there, obviously, but let's stick to facts for the time being, and we'll go back to looking at what is an increasingly tight race at the top of the table. You mentioned last time, Brandon, that Guan's trip to Shandong was one of the trickier fixtures they had coming up. They've lost there. They're just 2 points clear now at the halfway stage. It looks like they went down to a couple of goals early on and then tried to fight back and just couldn't get it to stick. Is that a fair reading of the game?
Yeah, I mean, they played okay. It wasn't their best performance, but all things considered, they hit the post two or three times. I mean, a bounce here, a foul there, it could have been a very different game, but I mean, it is what it is. I was expecting that hoping that they'd come away with a point, at least. That they didn't come away with any, it was disappointing, especially considering the scoreline. But I don't think, I mean, at least for me, which is something that very different from some of my fellow Guan brethren, it's no reason to be concerned. I think, you know, they're in the lead at the halfway point, and they're fine. There's nothing to be worried about.
That's a very balanced take, and you kind of alluded to it. There have been lots of less balanced takes going on in the aftermath of that. And this is a team that's won, I think, 13 of their first 15 games. They sit top halfway through the season. And yet some fans seem to be getting really antsy and even calling for, you know, the sacking of the manager. I mean, Cam, from an outsider's perspective, it's incredible, this overreaction, isn't it?
Yeah, they need to get a f***ing grip. That's all we can say about it. It's just infantile and retarded. A team at the top of the league who've basically won every game, all except two of their games, and fans act that way. I can't understand it, and I don't respect that kind of attitude whatsoever.
Well, let's also not forget that the last time Guan was in a position to win the league and leading the league in September, they fired the manager. So it's not without precedent in the capital, but I think that's a little extreme, and that could have been for different reasons as well. I definitely agree with Cammy. I just think Guan fans aren't used to losing that much this season and have sort of lost their head. But unfortunately, that sort of reaction seems relatively typical amongst Chinese fans. We've heard a lot from Cammy last week about the Jiangsu fans' reaction to their loss to Shenhua. It just seems like fans will say the darndest things for retweets or re-weibos or whatever.
Yeah, hopefully it's not something that the clubs themselves actually start to pay too much attention to, because it does seem like the kind of desperate attention seeking from fans is getting worse. There is one point, though, that I do wonder about the degree of expectation and emotion, you know, surrounding Guan this season. It feels, it's not a perfect analogy, but to me there's elements of kind of Liverpool coming just short in the Premier League last season, with it being such a long time since they've lifted the title and so important to the fans. It feels like there's almost too much riding on a lot of the games. Do you think, Brandon, that kind of off-field emotion is transmitting to the players at this point?
I mean, I disagree somewhat. I don't really think it's affected the players. Like I said, I mean, they hit the post. The game could have went very differently. And as you said, they've lost two games this year, both to top table teams. They haven't dropped any points. They haven't slipped up where they could have or where they would have in other years. And plus, they're coming off a CFA Cup title last season, which... you can say what you want about that trophy. It's not an easy one to win. So I don't think it's something that affects the players. And I really think that most sensible fans are fine with the way things are right now. And I think they're confident for the rest of the year.
The balance take that you know and love the podcast for, listeners. Interestingly, though, Shanghai International Port Group and also Evergrande are kind of coming up on the rails. A couple of kind of routine wins against poor sides after their midweek exertion, which we will get onto later. Cam, it kind of says everything that there's a Shanghai derby coming up, and it's not the feature piece in the podcast. It's two teams that are going in vastly different directions here at this point. And, you know, the hosts will have a decent shot at being top of the league, I think, again at some point this season. Two very different moods in the fan bases at this point, I imagine.
Yeah, very much so. I think this is a derby with zero suspense. I don't see anything other than a convincing victory for SIPG, and that's pretty tragic for... not only for Shenhua fans, but also for Chinese football as a whole, because the Shanghai derby was... for a period was the best game in China for a while, and now it's basically a very pale, unpredictable affair.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can count on Shenhua doing them a favour in their current state. Evergrande have a winnable game as well. I mean, it's plausible, Brandon, that Guan will be sitting in third after the next round. I'm kind of talking up Wuhan, who are one of the best of the rest. I mean, is that a banana skin, or are you confident that Guan are going to get back to winning ways this coming weekend?
I think we're seriously pulling at strings if we think Wuhan is one of the best of the rest. And if it's anything of a banana skin for Guan, Wuhan is just another... very average team that just is slightly better than all of the other teams towards the relegation zone, especially being played at Gongti. I'm always pessimistic, but this is 3-0 written all over it. It should be a very easy win. I think it's more so get matches later on in the month, like away at Jiangsu or away at Hunan, that I'm slightly more concerned about.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just trying to talk a bit of drama into it. Speaking of kind of teams that are doing the best of the rest in a very mediocre mid-table, as always, it's a good point, actually, that Jeff's raised in one of the questions. Is it time for us to talk a bit more about Cruyff in Chongqing? They took a lot of flack at the end of last year for hiring a newbie coach, going for the name rather than someone who knew what they were doing. It's easy to argue that they're doing pretty well now. Should we reevaluate, or are they just kind of another mediocre team who are, you know, sitting fifth, but fifth doesn't mean a lot right now, Ken?
Yeah, this table's pretty congested in that part of the table. So they've been on a pretty decent run. I just think it's very difficult to say very much. Cruyff is just so incredibly inexperienced. Perhaps this could begin as luck. Caught a couple of games where maybe chance their arm, and they could have easily been on the other end of the table if that hadn't happened, and no one would be taking any notice of them in that case. So I think we need to see if where they are. This, now we're in the halfway stage, exactly halfway through. Of course, it's when where they are at the end of the season, and I really don't think they'll be fifth when the CSL finishes this year.
And I think as well, it kind of depends. If fifth is only a few points ahead of kind of 12th or 13th come the end of the season, then there's not a huge difference there either. But we did think they were going to go down after appointing him last year. He does appear to have thrown himself into life there. He's kept them up. They're doing okay this year, so valid concerns, and we'll keep the jury out on this one, perhaps. And that leads us nicely, actually, mentioning of a jury, back to our kind of regular mid-pod feature, everyone's favourite snappily named listener vote. It's time for Phenomenon of the Week.
The Wild East Football Phenomenon of the Week.
And the winner in a tight poll last week, but just edging ahead with no club bias, I'm sure, was the Jiangsu Suning fans and their fantastic overreactions kind of at the game and on social media, just ahead of the good news story for Tibet's first ever goal scorer and Wei Shihao and his dreadlocks trailing in third. He got a bit of revenge with a couple of goals since then. There is an awful lot that's happened on and off the pitch this week for us to get stuck into. From coming last, I do get the first nomination, and I'm going to go for Fernandinho from the aforementioned Chongqing for scoring an absolute worldie midweek. We don't always nominate people for football reasons, so I've got to throw one of them up there. Brandon, I believe you get to go second.
All right, and for mine, I will nominate new Chinese citizen Pedro Delgado, who has no Chinese blood, cannot represent the national team, and wasn't registered at the start of the season, but somehow was able to play in the match against Guan as a U23 player, of all things. So congrats to him.
And if anyone knows what's going on there, please, answers on a postcard. Tweets are also accepted. Cam, third up on the nomination list this week, who or what has caught your eye as the phenomenon of this week?
I'm going to nominate the Chinese national team naturalisation bandwagon, which seems to be spinning wildly out of control. It seems that Fernandinho is going to be moving to Evergrande and register in the near future as a Chinese player. And at the last count, some counts have got as many as 8 naturalised Chinese players are going to be in the frame for Lippi's squad in the coming season or so, the next year or a couple of years. And I think it's just completely bamboozling. So that's my phenomenon.
Yeah, I get the feeling that's a phenomenon and a topic we're going to keep coming back to a lot over the next few months, as well as that kind of pool grows and we get to see what happens when they actually pull on the national team shirt as well. So as ever, we've given you a nice combination of options to vote for there, listeners. We look forward to seeing how you vote. So for the second part of the show, let's move away from talking about the Super League, and we need to look both back and forwards at the AFC Champions League, actually. You know, it feels like a long time ago, but less than a week ago from recording, we saw two titanic ties kind of decided on penalties after extra time, and I wanted to talk a little bit about both of them. Firstly, Brandon, the old Chinese tie, Shandong against Evergrande. I can't help but escape the feeling that Shandong kind of had the trump cards here. They were ahead, and it feels like they've thrown it away a little bit. And I mean, I know they got a good result against Guan afterwards, but much of their season is effectively over at a pretty early point now. It's got to be disappointing for them, right?
They are still in the CFA Cup, of course, and they should be able to get past Guan pretty easily in that one. But, you know, I wouldn't say that... They weren't ahead. They had the away goal going into this one, so that was beneficial, and they did do a really good job fighting to come back from behind. I mean, they were down for much of the match, and they were able to sort of overcome the deficit and everything, but take it to penalties, it's just bad luck. I think that, you know, they have to be a little disappointed, of course, because they were able to get into a situation where it all came down to penalties. But you know, Evergrande is the better side at the end of the day. And so while I think it's going to be disappointing for them and their fans, I don't think it's necessarily unfair. And maybe it's their year to win the cup this year.
Big call. But I mean, Cam, I think it's fair that we do give Evergrande a bit of credit. I mean, we criticize them a lot on the pod for various, you know, political machinations that they have, and we'll continue to call them out on that. But they really showed a kind of champions never say die mentality here. And they've got quite a few players to come back, some Chinese Brazilians coming in potentially as well. Is it time that both domestically and continentally teams really start to fear them again, do you think?
It was a good game, and you're right, I do agree, they're very much a champion. It was like a champion's performance. They were behind at one point. I think it was Poligno got the late goal to take it to penalties. When that happened, you had to fancy Evergrande. They've just got that the winning mentality I just mentioned. I think that gives them a psychological edge. I'm not convinced they are to be feared again. I think they've never been a bad team, don't get me wrong. I think they're still one of the strongest teams in Asia, never mind China, but I don't know, it's still a long way to go in the ACL, but they've already gone further than I expected, so in that way I think they've redeemed themselves, or certainly they've gotten some of their reputation back so far in the ACL this year.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, we've got to say Chinese side's doing in general a bit better than we predicted, and we could even have the tantalising prospect of a kind of all-Chinese regional final coming up potentially. But to reflect on the side that went out again, Brandon, I really struggle. Help me with the culture of Shandong, right? I really struggle to get a handle on this team. They're kind of comfortably the fourth best team in the country. They're always, you know, almost good enough, but not quite there. What are the kind of club and fans' expectations? Because, you know, if you go back kind of 10, 15 years, they used to be a massive force. They do still throw a fairly large amount of money around. I mean, they've got Pelé and Fellaini there, and, you know, they get their Brazilian imports in as well. How serious are the owners and the fans about really being a kind of title-winning side again? And, you know, how serious do you think they'll be regretting this opportunity missed?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're in sort of they're sort of in that what's the word, you know, middle state that Guan was in for a while, where they're not quite good enough to reach that next level, but they're also much better than everyone else. And you know, they have some really good foreigners. They have a lot of young talent coming through. I mean, Shandong has always been well known for developing their players. We've talked in previous pods over the years about how they've gone through sort of a locker room cleaning up and getting rid of the old guard. And I mean, it was one of the old guard in Cui Peng that failed them when it came down to penalties in the end. But They've sort of really done a lot to change the culture. They have a manager from the old school in Ni Xiaopeng, who's a longtime servant of the club. So they are going in the right direction. Maybe the strangeness of having Delgado as a U23 and having him around for the next couple of years or for the foreseeable future will help put them over the top. But they're still sort of, I think they need the other clubs to have their players retire or go away or something and let some of the youngsters come up before they can really impart their or have an impact on the league, because they're still missing some pieces, and those pieces aren't easily bought in the current market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess while we're on Shandong, Cam, words of praise maybe for, I don't know if it's pronounced Gil or Gilles, I have to admit, but they're kind of long-serving Brazilian centre-back who's played his last game for the club. Where does he sit in the kind of pantheon of foreign defenders who've played their trade in China? And, you know, do you feel he's going to be one of the last of an increasingly rare breed?
I'm not sure he is, actually. I think that foreign defenders still have a future in the CSL. I think you've got Jiang Su's, his name escapes me now. Is it Gabriel?
Paletta,
yeah. We've got the guy Jiang Su. Of course, the Guan's got the Korean guy, who's very good. I was kind of surprised that he left Shandong, actually, because he's been very solid. And it's just with the player rules getting changed about the foreign player eligibility, I think the obvious choice for a lot of Chinese teams was to spend that allocation spot on an attacking player instead of a defender. But if you look at Shandong, Jiangsu and Guan, they're three of the strongest teams in the league. So it's not, I don't think that's a coincidence there. So I think that shows you that foreign defenders do still have a role. For Jill himself, yeah, perhaps he just felt it was just time to move. But I think in general, especially with the naturalisation debate now, kind of makes these things really difficult to predict. You're probably going to have all kinds of players coming in. We just talked about Delgado earlier on, which is an exceptionally bizarre case. He's a midfielder, I think, but you know, might not be too much longer before we get a naturalised defender who kind of suddenly lands in the CSL somewhere. So, yeah, it's getting harder and harder to predict.
And it might get harder and harder to find actually Chinese developed players at this rate as well. But that's a topic for another day. We do want to be talking ACL here. And, we grudgingly praised Evergrande there. Brandon, are we going to be able to get you to praise Shanghai International Port Group? Because, I mean, they took it also on penalties against Yeonbuk after a very, very well-poised tie, 1-1 in both legs. Either team could have gone through. Either team will fancy themselves to go a long way from here. This is probably their best result in Asia yet.
Yeah, for sure. I'm surprised by it. My prediction was that would be a tie in the home leg in Shanghai, and they'd go to Yeonbuk and be thoroughly defeated 2-0, 1-0, 2-0, something like that. I think the only way SIPG was never going to win at Yeonbuk was my prediction. The only way they'd get through is if it came down to penalties, if they could hold on for dear life and get to penalties. And that's what they did. It was an exciting tie. But yeah, SIPG did enough. And now that they're there, and I'm sure we'll talk in upcoming podcasts about their matches against Urawa, but they definitely got the best luck in the draw, and they should be they're set up pretty well. They definitely have a good chance of making the finals. And you know, for me, as a Guan fan, this works out perfectly. Unfortunately, things didn't work out in Shandong, but having Evergrande take Shandong 120 minutes. And then having Evergrande stay in the ACL, having SIPG stay in the ACL, it's both distractions, and it definitely should be beneficial for Guan, at least in theory, that they have this added the other clubs have this added distraction to deal with the rest of the year.
Clutching at straws there, perhaps. I mean, you've alluded to the semi-finals there, and they're both really intriguing ties, Cam. Evergrande getting the reigning champions Kashima and Shanghai International Port Group getting Urawa. We'll preview the games in more detail when we get close to them, but how much do you think fans are going to be looking forward to these big kind of, you know, China-Japan clashes? And do you think that the kind of dream of an all-China final is still alive?
It's possible. Well, not in the final in all China, because as we know, politics rules the AFC and
the regional final.
The semi. I think it's definitely very possible, although Kashima Antlers are pretty good side. This year, Urawa Reds are struggling badly in the league, so it's going to be hard to see them doing a number against SIPG, but they played them in the Champions League, was it 2 years ago? And they were very much the better side in that occasion. So let's see. For Evergrande, yeah, Evergrande, we just said a moment ago, they're gaining strength. And these transfers they're making with the naturalised players are going to increase that further. So I'd say a pretty reasonable chance of a all-China regional final.
And we'd definitely get a lot of kind of special pod editions out of that one as well, I'm sure. Okay, but we'll preview those games in a bit more detail as we get close to them in the next month. It's time for us to go through the remainder of the mailbag for this week. I promised we'd move away from Shenhua, but there is a good question that has come in on them that I do think we should cover. Is there an appropriate world football analogy for Shenhua's wilting? This comes in from regular questioner Richesco. He suggested River Plate 2011 and Hamburg 2017-18. I think that Hamburg is actually a pretty good call. You're looking at a kind of a very established historical club that through off-pitch mismanagement and years of terrible transfer policy kind of eventually went down. I would possibly throw Sunderland of a few years back in there as well, in that what's going on off the pitch clearly stinks. Brandon, you're going to enjoy putting the boot in here, I'm sure. Are there any other kind of world club analogies that you would share to kind of shed some light on what's going on in Shanghai?
I mean, I'm maybe not as well versed or anything. I mean, I guess maybe, and this would end up taking them into relegation, but maybe Leeds from the mid 2000s or so, because like you said, I mean, this isn't just the Hamburg comparison doesn't really work, I don't think, because it's not just a one season affair. This has been going on for what, 5 years? I mean, last year for a while they were flirting with the relegation zone. This is just a downward spiral that has always seemed like we're hitting rock bottom, but it just finds a lower depth. And I think this year, maybe they finally actually hit the absolute bottom.
Cam, have you got any other analogies to share? And how far do you think the club are from rock bottom at this point?
For an analogy, there's quite a few to choose from. Actually, Brandon's Leeds one is actually pretty good. But for Shenhua, it's not so much financial mismanagement, it's just mismanagement on an industrial scale for a long time now. I think, I don't know, maybe Rangers 2012 in Scotland, they ended up going bust and reforming and starting off in the bottom division. And also there was a really strange cast of rogues involved in that story. Apparently the owner of Rangers, he basically signed up for a financial consultant, something like this. A financial consultant was given power to control Rangers' finances, and he took advice from like a pornographer who had some way of getting around tax by opening an account on Isle of Man or something like that, I can't remember. But it was something ridiculous and strange, which is what Shenhua is, ridiculous and strange. When will it hit rock bottom? Well, let's face it, basically every humiliation or disgrace which could happen to Shenhua has actually happened, except relegation. So if that actually happens, I personally don't think it will, but at this point, you couldn't rule out anything 100%, and I think it's basically the last humiliation they've yet to suffer. I mean, let's go back 10 years, right? What year is it? 2008. Let's go back to 2009, 2008. Like, Shanghai, SIPG were East Asia, they were like in the third division. Guangzhou Pharmaceutical, they were in the second division. Shenhua were basically vying with Shandong, Dalian, and go on to be top team in the country, and they were always thereabouts at the end of the season. They were always one of the teams who were in the championship race, and now Shenhua's not even top team in their own city, and they were stripped of one of their titles for match fixing. They lost some of the best players when their takeover from Greenland took over from Zhou Jun. They've been absolutely royally spanked in the Shanghai Derby numerous times. They've suffered humiliating defeats to third division opposition in the cup on more than one occasion. They've had all kinds of funny business and stupid things going on. So it's pretty much all that's left really is for them to get relegated. And they're really not that far off that as we speak. There's half the season to go, and they're like one or two points clear of the relegation zone. And any team in that position can't afford to be complacent. And even this transfer window, if you were to look back just a couple of months ago, if you were anybody who had even a rudimentary understanding of football, you would look at the squad and you would look at the state of the the team, you'd look at the table and you say, this is a shit show. We need to get strengthen the squad as far as we can, as much as possible, so that when the transfer window opens on July 1st, we've got one or two new foreigners ready to play. Who have we got? No one. Joe June coming back. It's just unbelievable.
You've definitely guaranteed us the explicit rating on the podcast app for this one, but deserved, I think. It's very difficult to kind of be encouraging about the side right now. Let's see what happens with the transfer window, but the return of Joe Jones doesn't exactly fill anyone with optimism. A bit of a downer for, well, unless you're fans of one of any of the other teams, in which case I'm sure you've loved this kind of end to the podcast, but we can't always end on a harmonious and upbeat note. This has been your Chinese football podcast for this week. Brendan, thank you as always for your input from the capital.
You're welcome, and while I swear a lot off of the recording, I wasn't the one that swore during the recording this time around, so yay me.
And Cam, thanks for getting us that explicit rating, and I hope we've got more positive matters to talk about next time.
Yeah, cheers mate.
And for this week, this has been your Chinese football podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football. I've been your host, Steve Crooks. We'll see you all again next week. Thank you for listening.
The Chinese football podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
本场比赛结束了，我们终于出现了。